I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's only 9 verses, but I'm going to speak to you tonight out of Psalm 28, verse 1, and I'll just name it. I have to name it for the internet, you know, they have to name those sermons. And so I wrote down here, why is God silent? Why is God silent? And so let's read Psalm 28. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. You ever heard anybody say, guys, just desert? That's where it comes from. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. Now, that ought to encourage you right there. Yeah. Amen. But he asked a question. Unto thee, verse 1, will I cry, O Lord my rock, be not silent to me. Lest, if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Why is God silent? You ever felt like God was silent? Well, sure you have. We all have. And maybe a lot of times we'll look around and we think, well, maybe God's not hearing me. Well, why? Why is God silent? He is silent sometimes. He was silent to Israel for 400 years. He did not speak to anybody in Israel at the close of the Old Testament until the beginning of the New Testament with the birth of Jesus Christ. Why? Why would God do that? I thought God was a loving and compassionate God. Well, he is. But there are reasons. God's also just. God's a just God. We hear a lot about justice nowadays. Of course, most people talking about it don't know what it is. But they're talking about justice. Well, what is justice? And if anything, God is just. He's going to judge rightly. He's going to administer punishment and reward rightly. Amen?
Amen.
But there are reasons that God is silent. Not only with individuals, but with churches, and not only with churches, but with nations, God becomes silent sometimes. So I thought about it. I only have 3 reasons. Number 1, turn to Zephaniah 3. Zephaniah chapter 3, and I know that's a little hard to find. That's an Old Testament minor saint, minor prophet, I mean. Zephaniah chapter 3. Page 1167. That's what you would want me to tell you. Amen, Zephaniah. Amen, amen. I like it. Right before Zechariah, right before Malachi. Amen. Haggai. Now, listen to me. God is silent sometimes. And in Zephaniah chapter 3, I think it is, verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. And he will rest. You with me?
In his
love. Okay. And he will rest in his love. Did you know that sometimes God is silent to us because he loves us?
Amen.
Yes.
Well, preacher, how can that be? If he loves me, why is he silent? Because sometimes the best answer is no answer at all.
Amen.
You ever thought about that? You ever ask somebody a question that didn't answer you and later on you was glad they didn't? Amen. Amen. I'm sure many of men have proposed and the woman didn't say nothing, just sit there and look at him. Later on he thought, man, I'm glad she didn't answer. Or vice versa, you know. But sometimes because God loves us, he's silent. He's silent. Now, the Word of God is never silent, okay? You can pick the Word of God up and read it. But sometimes if somebody loves you, they just don't talk back. They just don't answer your question. You ever have anybody give you a silent treatment? Well, sometimes it's because they don't want to hurt your feelings. Amen? How many times have I been glad that God did not answer my prayer at all? Amen. I prayed specific things and God did not answer. And then where it might be years down the road, I look back on it and I said, well, this is the reason God did not answer that prayer that I put up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And because he loves you, he's silent. You ever looked at your kids and you really wanted to pinch your head off and you just didn't say nothing? You just looked at them. Sometimes my wife, she'll just look at me and I think, I hope she don't say what she's thinking. But because God loves us, he doesn't always give us the information we want because for several reasons. Number one, we may not know what to do with the answer. Number two, it might be an answer that we would misunderstand. And number three is, he just knows that we're better off. He loves us so much, he knows that you're better off not getting an answer for that because it's going to hurt your little old feelings and it'd be better if he was just silent and gave you a good stern look. Amen. Sometimes my mom used to look at me and I felt like she knows everything I've done. I said, Mama, why are you looking at me like that? But God loves us. And we pray for all kind of crazy stuff and God doesn't answer. Sometimes he'll rebuke us for it, but he doesn't answer because he loves us, you know. And he knows what's best for us before we can even think or ask it. So he says nothing. Number two, Matthew 15:23. Matthew 15:23. I said God's silent sometimes. Well, why is God silent? Well, sometimes he's silent because he loves us. Matthew 15, look at it with me, verse 23. I'll wait on you. It's Wednesday night. We ain't in no hurry. Nobody's waiting at Bojangles for you to come eat Sunday dinner and all that stuff. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She answered him not a word. Have you ever thought about that? Now, in this case, it was to test her faith. A woman, verse 22, behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of Israel. And then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet for me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. He was just testing her faith.
That's right.
To see if she would ask more than one time. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray and we say, God's not answering me. God's silent. No, he's not silent. He's just testing your faith. See how long you're going to pray if you're really serious about this thing, you know. And then, even though she was not a Jew, he didn't come to the Jews. the Gentiles. He came to the Jews. He said, I didn't come to the Gentiles. I came to the Jew. She's not part of the family of Abraham. I didn't come. He came to preach to the Jews, to the family of Abraham, and this Gentile is getting in on it. Well, that's okay, but if you're going to put it in a timetable, she was out of time, but God answered her prayer anyway. Amen. But before he did, he tested her a little bit. He said, I'm going to see if this Gentile woman really believes what she's asking. And she did, and therefore she wouldn't give up. And then after he tested her, he said that her faith was what?
Great.
Great faith. Because, see, she wasn't a Jew. And that made her faith even greater because she was not of the family of Abraham. She had not been taught the things that the Jews had been taught about a coming Savior. And she believed anyway. So sometimes he's silent because he loves us so much. And then sometimes he's silent because he is testing our faith. Now, to test our faith is not for him. He already knows what your faith is.
Amen.
Testing your faith. The test is for you, not him. He knows what your faith is. He's trying to prove to you that you do have the faith. So he'll test it in order to show you that you have the faith.
Amen.
Not testing it to see if you really believe. He knows you really believe. But he wants you to know that you really believe and you won't take a no for an answer. You ever thought about that?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes people say, well, God's testing my faith to see if I can hold out. I said, no, God's not trying to see anything. He already knows that.
Yeah.
God's trying to see if you see.
Amen.
Amen. God's trying to show you that you have the faith. It's not his faith that's being tested, it's yours. And it's not for the benefit of him because he already knows. It's for your benefit so he can prove to you that you have the faith. And if he's silent for a little while, it's going to try your faith. See, we live in America, we want instant everything.
That's right.
We want instant presidential elections. Instant grits. I eat instant grits. Shut up. I eat instant grits boiled. I eat them instant. I eat whole grits. I eat anything grits. Just my daughter Suzanne one time, she was so funny. She was a teenager going to make a cake of cornbread. And she made this beautiful cake of cornbread. And we all started taking a bite out of it. And she had done got the grits bag and made a cake of grits. What are y'all laughing about? That's what it is like when you go down there and eat those grits and shrimp. It ain't nothing but old dried up grits with some shrimp on it. But see, the problem is not my faith, his faith, it's my faith. The test is not for him, it's for me. And sometimes he's quiet a while. He don't give me a yes. He didn't give this woman a yes. He told her, no, wait. No, he was silent. No. And so he's silent and we don't hear from him and we pray. We don't hear from him. We pray. We don't hear from him. And then all of a sudden he answers. Now, that's a good way to clear out Walmart. Just sneeze. He was also testing the faith of his disciples.
Yeah.
That's right. And sometimes he'll test our faith by being quiet. And by being quiet and testing our faith, it also tests the faith of those who are praying for us. I told Sister Shirley, she's probably watching. I told her yesterday, I said, Sister Shirley, we know something the doctors don't know. She said, what's that? I said, you're a winner.
Amen.
I said, you can't lose. What do you mean, preacher? I said, 1 John 5:4, this is the victory to overcome the world, even our faith. I said, you've already got the victory. Whether you're sick or well, you have the victory. Whether you're living or dying, you have the victory. As children of God, we don't have to pray about it. We already have the victory.
Yes.
Now, Sometimes God will test our faith through sickness or trial or tribulation. We'll pray and nothing happened. We'll pray and nothing happened. And but maybe right there at the end, he comes in and it all gets answered. Or it may never be answered the way we think it ought to be answered. And we're still a winner. Amen. So he's testing our faith. He's silent because he loves us. He's silent because sometimes he needs to test our faith. I tell the Lord sometimes, I said, Lord, you know what's in my heart. You know what's in me. He does.
Yes.
And we all have all the good intentions in the world. We as believers, you know, we all got good intentions. We're going to do this stuff. And then it don't happen that way. And then we feel bad about it. And it may not even be our own fault that it happened that way. And then we have to say, well, God, you know my heart. I really wanted to do that. Or we'll say, God, you know my faith. You know I really do have the faith to do this. And something happens, you didn't get to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And sometimes God tests us by being silent. And then Jeremiah chapter 7, and that's where I was really trying to get to. Jeremiah chapter 7, I want you to look at verse 12 through 28. And as soon as I start reading this, you're going to see why he's silent here. Jeremiah chapter 7, and I believe this is where we are in America right now, okay? I believe historically America is right here in Jeremiah chapter 7. And we'll start with verse 12 in Jeremiah chapter 7. I'll wait on you. It's Bible study night. Page 954. See, if we all bought Scofield study Bibles, we'd all have the same page. Amen. Old Dr. Harold Sightley used to get up and he'd say, that's page 917 in your Scofield reference Bible. Verse 12. But go ye now into my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. And I called ye, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. That's one of the tribes of Israel. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem? My goodness, turn on your television tonight. You see what they're doing?
Yeah.
The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. You former Catholics, that's where that came from. And to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beasts and upon the trees of the field and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck, they did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and cut off from their mouth. And I'll take you back. I'll take you back to verse 23, Go back to verse 12. But go now into my place, which was, here it is. Verse 13, now because you've done all these works, saith the Lord, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. And then he comes on down, and he says this. He said, verse 17, seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets? In verse 16, he says, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up crying or prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear. Sometimes God's silent because he loves us. Sometimes he's silent because he tests our faith. But sometimes because he has spoken and nobody listened, when they want to hear from him, he's silent. See, we just can't put God on our clock and call him whenever we want to expect him to answer. God never does or does not anything without a reason. He doesn't. He never does not anything, or he doesn't do things. He only does things or does not do things for a reason. So, you know what we're supposed to do when he's silent as our nation? Look for the reason. You know what we're supposed to do when he's silent to our families? Look for the reason. You know what we're supposed to do when he's silent to our church? Look for a reason. And he's silent right now in this country.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying all the churches are silent. Ours is not silent. God's still got some people. He's still got some good churches. But I'm saying as a whole, God is silent in the turmoil, in the tribulation of this nation. Where are the great prophets of God? Where are those that cry aloud, spare not, show my people their sins? Where are the great mass meetings and the great mass revivals? Where are they? God's silent in those areas. Now, he's not silent to people that are right with God. If you're right with God, he still talks to you. He's not silent to local assemblies that are still trying to serve him. He still speaks in local assemblies that's trying to serve him. But our nation as a whole, God is silent. You know why? He called, they didn't answer. And he called and they didn't answer. And he called and they didn't answer. He sent prophets and they killed them. And he sent preachers and they made fun of them and mocked them. You go try to preach this right here or preach any gospel on the street of Washington D.C. tonight, they'll crucify you in that so-called protest. You go to Philadelphia, try to preach stuff like this and they'll beat you to death in that crowd. But you know, when the fire starts falling, guess who's going to call on God? And God will be silent. And it could be because of corruption, just as he talked about corruption here in Shiloh and in Ephraim. It could be because of corruption in our country. He's silent in our government. I'm just saying. Look for the reason. Now, our nation is a wonderful place. It's still the best place on planet Earth. It's still the greatest gospel sending, missionary sending, literature sending. But the majority of America don't agree with that anymore. And you can't go against God's word and then call on him tomorrow and expect him to answer you. And if he does answer, you're not going to like the answer he gives you. And he said, verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast been my help. Leave me not, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation." Now, let me tell you something. That's chapter 27. I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you. Now, listen to this. If we do not cry, he doesn't answer. And I'm afraid we got to the point in America where we don't think we have to cry anymore. He said, "Blessed be the Lord that has heard the voice of my supplications," in 28, verse 6. In verse 7 in chapter 28, he says, "The Lord is my strength, my shield, my heart trusted in him, and I'm helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices. With my song will I praise him." Now, I don't know about you, but I would rather, and if you read chapter 27 and 28 there together, you'll see that you would rather God speak to you than not. Now, I'm glad he loves me enough sometimes he doesn't speak. But then I'm glad sometimes he tests my faith by not speaking for a while. But most of all, I'm glad that he loves me. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
And he has mercy on me. And I'm glad there in Psalm 27, 28, you just read that. It will encourage you even the day that we live in. Now, Jeremiah's not going to give you much encouragement, Jeremiah chapter 7. But as a nation, look, as a nation, it can be one way, and individuals in that nation can be another way.
Absolutely.
There's always a called out remnant. There's always a remnant. God's always got a remnant. He's always got a group of people. Always. Has always had in this world. And in the darkest times, God still speaks to those people. And that's us. Not just us, but every believer in Christ that's trying to serve him and love him and obey him. And I don't know about you, but I think today, this time, right now, in our country is a good time to draw nigh to God so he'll draw nigh to us.
Yes.
Now you listen. Listen to this. God went down to Nineveh and he was going to destroy the whole town, but he wanted to have mercy on them.
Yes.
And he sent a sorry Baptist preacher down there, Jonah, who did not have the faith he should have. But it wasn't his faith that saved those people. It was the word of God that did it, and then that gave them the faith to believe what God said, even though the preacher didn't believe it.
Yeah.
And God spared that city of millions. And the preacher gets mad and walks outside town, gets on his hilltop to have a pity party. And it's hot, so God put a little gourd plant over his head to give him a little shade, felt sorry for his preacher. And then the gourd dried and he cried. The preacher cried because his gourd dried up. And God said, "You sorry preacher?" He said, "All those people down there don't even know their left hand from their right. And you didn't cry over them, but you cried over a gourd plant." And he didn't think God should hear those people, but he thought he should hear him about his little gourd plant. And I'm afraid that's where the average Baptist church is. Now listen, I know those people out there burning buildings and hurting people and tearing stuff up. I know they deserve judgment. Every one of them ought to go to jail. But I want you to know this. Prayer changes things.
Amen.
And God hears his people. Now, they ain't going to hear that crowd unless they cry out for repentance. But he still hears his people. And we may not hear him talk back to us when we pray about it. But that doesn't mean just because he's silent, he's not working. He's out there working right now.
Amen.
In sleep. He knows exactly what's going on. And God is still in control.
Yes, sir.
No matter what happens, God's still in control.
Yes.
And just because we don't hear him right now, Jeffrey, don't mean he's not working. Doesn't mean he's not talking to somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
So let's just pray that God will have his way. Amen?
Amen.
In our nation, in our families, in our churches, in us individually. Amen? All right. If you're not saved tonight, that sounded crazy, didn't it? But if you are saved, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Kenneth, pray for us. Let's be stand. No, let's don't be dismissed. Stand. I'm trying to quit on time. It's time, and I'm going to end up going 5 minutes over because we're going to sing. Come on. Come on. We're going to sing, then we'll pray. Try to get y'all people out of here.
385.
That's a good one.